Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 46. Day by day the manna fell. Oh, to learn this lesson well. Still by constant mercy fed, give me, Lord, my daily bread. Hymn number 46. Michael from California will read from the scriptures.
1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom have ye not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father, which art in heaven, our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One,
thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 120. How beauteous on the mountains the feet of him that brings, like streams from living fountains, good tidings of good things, that publishes salvation, from error gives release to every tribe and nation, God's reign of joy and peace. Hymn number 120.
Thank you.
welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin each Sunday morning here at 10 o'clock with our roundtable discussion, where we discuss this week's lesson, other topics that need to be covered, and learn how to practice better in our lives Christian Science. And we had another really good one this morning. So if you missed it, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can find it on our website, plainfieldcs.com. And you can also find it on our YouTube channel and our Vimeo channel. We have a Sunday school for children that meets at 11 a.m., and that Sunday school is available to children just about anywhere. It has its own dedicated teleconference number. Many of our students don't live in the area, but they attend via telephone. This means that if you don't live in the area, but have a child of Sunday school age, your child can also attend. Just call the church. We'll give you the number for the Sunday school, and our Sunday school teachers will be very happy to welcome your child to our Sunday school. And at all of our services and meetings, we do have a nursery for infants and toddlers. So if you can attend in person, you can bring the whole family. We have 21 different websites in 21 different languages. This is our worldwide mission, to bring the healing power of Christian Science to people everywhere in the world that we can possibly do so. And everything that's available on our websites is free of charge. Freely we have received, and freely we give. And this is why we are so grateful to those of you who contribute financially to this wonderful cause. Very much appreciated. And one of the articles I'd like to point out that's currently featured on our English website is entitled "From Sickness to Health" by Reverend G.A. Kratzer. Very good explanation of Christian Science healing of sickness. Everyone is welcome here, and that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now we will have the reading of a testimony of healing from the Christian Science textbook, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Mara from Mississippi.
Page 610, Cancer and Consumption Healed. I was a great sufferer for many years from internal cancer and consumption. I was treated by the best of physicians in New York, Minneapolis, and Duluth, and was finally given up as incurable when I heard of Christian Science. A neighbor who had been healed of consumption kindly loaned me Science and Health by Mrs. Eddy, which I read and became interested in. In 3 months' time, I was healed. The truth conveyed to me by this book being the healer, and not only of these diseases, but I was made whole mentally as well. I have not been in bed one day since, or rather in 11 years. I have had many good demonstrations during this time, have passed through many a fiery trial, but this blessed truth has caused me to stand, at times seemingly alone, and God was with me. I will mention a demonstration of painless childbirth, which I have had since coming to Idaho. Perhaps it may help some sister who is looking through the journal for a demonstration of this kind, as I was before my baby came. Good help being scarce here, I did my housework up to the time I was confined and was in perfect health. I woke my husband one morning at 5 o'clock, and at 5:30, baby was born. No one being present but my husband and myself. It was quite a surprise to the rest of the family to see me sitting by the fire with a new baby on my lap. My son got the breakfast, of which I ate heartily. At noon, I joined the family in the dining room. I was out on the porch the second day, around the yard the third day, and have been perfectly well ever since, which has been now over 3 years. To one who had previously passed through agony untold with a physician in attendance, this seemed wonderful. I hope this will interest someone who is seeking the truth and wish to express my sincere love for our beloved leader who has given us the key to the scriptures, E.C.C. Lewiston, Idaho.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural texts and their correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts and their denominational, spiritual import and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. And today's lesson sermon can be found on page 4 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. The subject is, Are Sin, Disease, and Death Real? The golden text is from John. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, Christ Jesus. The responsive reading is from Philippians. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus,
who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God,
but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant.
Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Do all things without murmurings and disputes,
that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. Lenny from Georgia will now read.
The Bible, Matthew. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. freely ye have received. Freely give. Luke. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him, and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this! For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue, and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face, into every city and place, whither he himself would come. Therefore he said unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Matthew. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Bruce will now read.
I will read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Entirely separate from the belief and dream of material living is the life divine, revealing spiritual understanding and the consciousness of man's dominion over the whole earth. This understanding casts out error and heals the sick. And with it, you can speak as one having authority. Like the great exemplar, the healer should speak to disease as one having authority over it, leaving soul to master the false evidences of the corporeal senses and to assert its claims over mortality and disease. Jesus did his own work by the one Spirit. He said, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. He never described disease, so far as can be learned from the Gospels, but he healed disease. Man-made doctrines are waning. They have not waxed strong in times of trouble. Devoid of the Christ power, how can they illustrate the doctrines of Christ or the miracles of grace? Denial of the possibility of Christian healing robs Christianity of the very element which gave it divine force and its astonishing and unequaled success in the first century. There is divine authority for believing in the superiority of spiritual power over material resistance. Suffering, sinning, dying beliefs are unreal. When divine science is universally understood, they will have no power over man, for man is immortal and lives by divine authority. I here present to my readers an allegory illustrative of the law of divine mind and of the supposed laws of matter and hygiene. An allegory in which the plea of Christian Science heals the sick. Suppose a mental case to be on trial, as cases are tried in court. A man is charged with having committed liver complaint. The patient feels ill, ruminates, and the trial commences. Personal sense is the plaintiff. Mortal man is the defendant. False belief is the attorney for personal sense. Mortal minds, materia medica, anatomy, physiology, hypnotism, envy, greed, and ingratitude constitute the jury. The courtroom is filled with interested spectators, and Judge Medicine is on the bench. Judge Medicine arises and with great solemnity addresses the jury of mortal minds. He analyzes the offense, reviews the testimony, and explains the law relating to liver complaint. His conclusion is that laws of nature render disease homicidal. In compliance with a stern duty, His Honor, Judge Medicine, urges the jury not to allow their judgment to be warped by the irrational, unchristian suggestions of Christian Science. The jury must regard, in such cases, only the evidence of personal sense against mortal man. As the judge proceeds, the prisoner grows restless. His sallow face blanches with fear, and a look of despair and death settles upon it. The case is given to the jury. A brief consultation ensues, and the jury returns a verdict of guilty of liver complaint in the first degree. Swift, on the wings of divine love, there comes a dispatch. Delay the execution. The prisoner is not guilty. Consternation fills the prison yard. Some exclaim, "It is contrary to law and justice." Others say, "The law of Christ supersedes our laws. Let us follow Christ." The counsel's earnest, solemn eyes, kindling with hope and triumph, look upward. Then Christian Science turns suddenly to the Supreme Tribunal and opens the argument for the defense. The prisoner at the bar has been unjustly sentenced. His trial was a tragedy and is morally illegal. Mortal man has had no proper counsel in the case. Then what jurisdiction had His Honor Judge Medicine in this case? To him I might say, in Bible language, "Sittest thou to judge after the law, and commandest to be smitten contrary to the law?" The only jurisdiction to which the prisoner can submit is that of truth, life, and love. If they condemn him not, neither shall judge medicine condemn him. And I ask that the prisoner be restored to the liberty of which he has been unjustly deprived. The attorney, Christian Science, then read from the Supreme Statute Book, the Bible, certain extracts on the rights of man, remarking that the Bible was better authority than Blackstone. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Here the counsel for the defense closed, and the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, with benign and imposing presence, comprehending and defining all law and evidence, explained from his statute book, the Bible, that any so-called law which undertakes to punish aught but sin is null and void. The jury of spiritual senses agreed at once upon a verdict, and there resounded throughout the vast audience chamber of spirit the cry, "Not guilty." Then the prisoner rose up, regenerated, strong, free. We noticed, as he shook hands with his counsel, Christian Science, that all sallowness and debility had disappeared. His form was erect and commanding, his countenance beaming with health and happiness. Divine love had cast out fear. Mortal man, no longer sick and in prison, walked forth, his feet beautiful upon the mountains, as of one that bringeth good tidings. In divine science, where prayers are mental, all may avail themselves of God as a very present help in trouble. Love is impartial and universal in its adaptation and bestowals. It is the open fount which cries, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters."
We will now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 30. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. Brood o'er us with thy sheltering wing, neath which our spirits blend like brother birds that soar and sing and on the same branch bend. The arrow that doth wound the dove darts not from those who watch and love. Hymn number 30.
Thank you.
Let's now sing hymn number 335. The morning light is breaking, the darkness disappears. The sons of earth are waking to penitential tears. Each breeze that sweeps the ocean brings tidings from afar of nations in commotion prepared for Zion's war. Hymn number 335.
I will read from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, on the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter, or its infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. Beloved, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because he knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Romans, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.